From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Newt Gingrich is one of the most divisive men in American politics. To his supporters, he's the whip-smart, pugnacious, never-say-die conservative who brought the GOP back to power on Capitol Hill. To detractors, he's the grandiose, say-anything peacock who poisoned American politics and brought on the country's great polarization. Last summer, his own staff abandoned him as he sailed in the Greek islands and polled in single digits. Now, in the GOP's anyone but Romney agonies, he's out front, leading. This hour on Point, the Newt Gingrich moment. You can join the conversation. Can Newt do it? Is it his time? Republicans, is this the best man for the job to beat Obama, to lead the nation? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. In a moment, we'll talk with a Gingrich supporter from Newt Hampshire, as she calls it. And we'll hear in a few minutes from National Review's Rich Lowry, Vanity Fair's Todd Purdom, and more on Gingrich, the man and the candidate. But first, joining us from the Newt Gingrich campaign trail in Greenville, South Carolina, is Tripp Gabriel, political reporter for the New York Times. He's covering the Gingrich campaign. Tripp Gabriel, welcome to On Point.
Thank you.
It's great to have you with us. How is the Gingrich campaign taking these new poll numbers, showing him out front nationally? Do they feel like the latest flavor of the month, the latest not Romney, or that he's really got a chance to do it, Tripp?
Well, I think certainly the latter. I don't think any candidate will ever admit to being flavor of the month. They're seeing the polls, and they're also seeing the support on the ground. He's in his third day of campaigning in South Carolina, which is the first primary in the South, of course, and the campaign's very happy to point out that every Republican who's won the South Carolina primary, going back to Ronald Reagan in 1980, has gone on to win the Republican nomination. Gingrich is had a very strong and enthusiastic turnout at a series of town hall meetings he's given around the state. So this is a moment certainly when a campaign feels very confident and is enjoying their momentum.
Give us a little of the Gingrich campaign analysis of where things stand. Here's Newt Romney. He's been the front runner for a long time. He's got a huge war chest. He's got big logistical support on the ground all over the place. Newt Gingrich only last summer had nothing. His staff left him. He was in the Greek islands. We had the Tiffany's, you know, what was it, $500,000 credit line came out, and he was all on his own. At this point, how does Newt Gingrich actually do it? What would be the game plan to take this from Romney?
Well, his game plan, as he mentioned to me when he opened his first office in New Hampshire, it was just about 2 weeks ago, was he's going to try to run very strong in New Hampshire, which is a little unusual because Romney has such a commanding lead in the polls. He wants to do well in Iowa. He has only a skeleton staff in Iowa right now. But interestingly, today and yesterday, as Herman Cain stumbles over the latest revelations about his personal life, polls are indicating that for Cain supporters, their second choice would be Newt Gingrich. So the Gingrich campaign, I think, regards that very favorably. They've put in the biggest professional staff and infrastructure here in South Carolina. They have about 9 full-time paid people. I think that might be the biggest of any candidate in the state. And they've opened a series of offices around the state. They're running a very conventional campaign, which is ironic since the staff, as you mentioned, all walked off in mid-June, largely citing Gingrich's refusal to do the hard slogging of retail campaigning. He's very much doing that hard slogging this month and heading into the primary season next year.
Mitt Romney's still leading in New Hampshire, though the latest polling we see there from Rasmussen shows Newt Gingrich having gained 16 points on him since the last poll, really breathing on Romney now. And, of course, last weekend had the big supportive editorial from the very conservative union leader in New Hampshire. Does he have to win New Hampshire in the Gingrich calculus to push it on, or can he wait for a South Carolina win to do that?
He doesn't have to win New Hampshire, and he has that luxury. I think it becomes a game of expectations. I mean, if he does quite well, if he comes, within breathing distance of Mitt Romney in New Hampshire, that's going to be a dangerous sign for Romney and a very positive thing for Gingrich. Gingrich has pretty much said all along he has to win South Carolina. That will set up the Florida primary shortly afterwards. And a new poll in Florida, the last couple of days showed him running first in Florida. His calculation is if he wins South Carolina, he'll win Florida, and if he wins those two states, he'll take the nomination. That's, of course, his spin on it. There, you know, anything can happen.
Tripp, you're watching him. As he's moved out front, is his style changing? Newt Gingrich is famously kind of volatile, sometimes his own worst enemy, with off-the-cuff comments and kind of grand statements that sometimes have come back to bite him. Can you feel him reining it in now that he's got front-runner status in national polls?
That's an interesting question. I think everybody around him, you know, both his staff and the press corps that follows him, is sort of waiting to see if something like that happened the way it did back in June when he criticized, the Republican Medicare proposal as being right-wing social engineering. Those sorts of things, punctuate his entire political career. I wouldn't say that he's, being more... more restrained. I think he has a great deal of confidence in an individual. He speaks without notes. He doesn't seem to fret much over what he says. He's fairly candid in interviews. He knows he has a tremendous amount of baggage, so-called baggage, both political and personal, going back 30, 40 years. And he said, he expects all this to be brought out to the light. It's hazy in a lot of voters' minds now, and he's ready for it. I think Newt is being Newt. That's what his campaign, will tell you is his strategy, and we'll see. We'll see if that, where that leads him.
Newt Gingrich is a PhD historian. He follows the great historian Arnold Toynbee's theory. You've written, Tripp, about leaders and the theory of departure and return. That is, great leaders have periods of exile before they come into their triumph. Who does he compare himself to? Give us a little sense of that.
This was an interview with the New York Times, actually, a couple of years ago, in which he brought up the Toynbee theory. Gingrich hasn't held public office since 1998, when he departed the speakership of the House under pressure, and also Congress under pressure. He cited in that interview a couple of years ago Charles de Gaulle, the great French general who... spent years in exile before becoming president of the Fifth Republic in France. And Gingrich is a historian. He has it's like watching the History Channel run a series of repeats sometimes. I mean, he tells similar stories about the American Revolution, the Civil War era, World War II, draws on all these kinds of references, in his remarks. And you can feel behind that he sees himself as a man of historic destiny.
Tripp Gabriel, political reporter with the New York Times. Thanks very much for being with us today from South Carolina and the Gingrich campaign trip.
Thank you.
With me now from Colebrook, New Hampshire, is Ellie Pearson. She's a big supporter of Newt Gingrich. She's Gingrich's county co-captain in northern New Hampshire's Coos County. Ellie Pearson, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Do you feel momentum for Newt Gingrich in your corner of New Hampshire, Ms. Pearson?
Well, we certainly are trying. I don't feel a whole lot of momentum in this area yet, but we are definitely working on that.
Why are you for Newt Gingrich as opposed to, say, Mitt Romney or John Huntsman or you name it in the Republican field?
I've had an interest in this man for years and years. I really can't tell you why. There's just something about him. Even with all his baggage over the years, I've watched his career, and I like the man, and I think he definitely has good, bold ideas for the country. The country really does need to be turned around. We are in a mess right now.
Mm.
And I think he has the knowledge, the intellect to do that.
What about the baggage? I mean, here's Herman Cain. He's on the ropes after complaints of sexual harassment and now this report of a long-term extramarital affair in Atlanta. I mean, it's on well on the record that Newt Gingrich has had a couple of affairs going on while he was married, a very kind of awkward circumstances, you would think, for a politician. Do you think that'll come back and bite him with values voters, with you, Ellie Pearson?
I think it's always been out there. He's never really denied, I don't think. I could be wrong about that, but he always seemed to be upfront about what he did. He never seemed to deny it. And I think that probably is the difference between him and some of the other candidates.
Of course, not deny it maybe, but he didn't talk about it when he was going after Bill Clinton for Monica Lewinsky while he was having an affair with a congressional staffer himself at that time. What kind of a president do you think Newt Gingrich would be? Could he unite the country, or would this be a divider, Ellie Pearson?
I think he would do his very best to unite the country. I think right now the economic situation, and I think the jobs situation, are in the forefront. I think there's a lot of people that are hurting, especially in this area in northern New Hampshire. And I believe that if he tackled those problems and turned the financial situation around and created jobs, I think that people would rally around him.
He may have that chance. Out in front now in national polls, not in New Hampshire at the moment, but in others, as Herman Cain stumbles and Mitt Romney just hasn't come over that hump. Ellie Pearson is the Coos County co-captain of the Newt Gingrich campaign in New Hampshire. Ms. Pearson, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Newt Gingrich, the new front-running contender, challenger for the GOP presidential nomination. Newt Gingrich. Here's Newt Gingrich before a town hall meeting in Charleston, South Carolina on Monday. He spoke with a local radio station, WSCFM, about his opponent, Mitt Romney, and his own personal electability.
I don't claim to be the perfect candidate. I just claim to be a lot more conservative than Mitt Romney, and a lot more electable than anybody else. And I think that if you look at my track record of reforming welfare, cutting taxes, balancing the federal budget for four straight years, leading House Republicans to their first majority in 40 years and their first reelection as a majority since 1928, I think that stacks up pretty well.
Republican Revolution, don't you forget it. Not a perfect candidate saying he's saying there, Newt Gingrich, but a lot more conservative than Mitt Romney. Newt Gingrich there in South Carolina. Joining us now from Washington is Rich Lowry, big-time syndicated columnist, editor of the National Review. He's followed Gingrich for years now. He's bringing us his perspective on the new Newt moment. Rich Lowry, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
And with us from Greenville, South Carolina, with the Gingrich campaign, Byron York, chief political correspondent for the Washington Examiner. Byron York, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Good to be here.
Byron, let me come first to you. You're there with the campaign. You and the Gingrich campaign are seeing these new numbers come in. He was single digits for a long time. It was only in last summer we saw his entire staff walk out on him. How do you read the mood in the Gingrich campaign now, Byron?
It could not be more positive. They're seeing the human version of these poll numbers. Gingrich just finished a town hall at a place called Tommy's Country Ham House in Greenville,
okay.
And it was absolutely packed. Line was out the door. On Tuesday night, he did a town hall in Newberry, South Carolina, at the Opera House there. The same story, extremely positive reaction. They're seeing those poll numbers in person at their events.
So it's in the flesh, on the hoof in South Carolina. Rich Lowry, how do you look at this? I mean, here was Newt. He, for a long time, he sort of played the Eminence Grease up on the stage at the debates. I mean, he was in there, but mainly fending off media questions and saying anybody's better than Obama. Can you see him holding this position at the fore, or is this one more flavor of the month, Rich?
Well, he was the candidate, it turned out, with the best debate strategy, which was to hammer any moderator asking him a question to kind of play to the anti-media feeling among Republican voters. And he didn't attack any of the other candidates. And, you know, as you say, he just said all of them would be better than Obama. And then it naturally shines in these forums because he's so articulate and so fluid on these issues and is so pungent in the way he expresses his positions. I suspect it's more than just a flavor of the month, because it's hard to see who the next flavor would be. We've cycled through so many of these so-called non-Romney candidates. This may be finally one with some staying power. Now, the problem with Newt is he has a tendency to blow himself up when he's at the the top of the world, and we'll see whether he's changed in that regard. And he has a lot of baggage in his background, as everyone has commented on. Gingrich is overflowing with baggage metaphors as far as journalists are concerned, You know, we're beginning to see the media disinter some of this stuff, including a front page New York Times article today on how he was effectively a lobbyist when he was out of the speakership.
He's denied that, but they're saying, in fact, that's the work he did. Why does he blow up? Why does Newt Gingrich, you say, blow himself up? What's behind that, Rich?
It's just a matter of temperament. He's very erratic. When he was speaker, he literally had a personal psychic meltdown, basically. And you look back at that incident and realize if someone did that in the Oval Office, had that kind of meltdown, it would be horrible for the country. It'd be kind of an LBJ Nixon-style incident. So over the long term here, he's going to have to allay those sort of concerns about, you know, is he even keeled enough for this job, which is the most important and powerful executive position in the world, in the history of the world.
Byron, he will say he's changed in many ways. He'll say he realized that he did bad things, that they were wrong. He's made amends. Last year at 65, he converted to Catholicism. He's married now to his third wife, 23 years his junior, former congressional staffer. You know, and he talks a serious game, but you know, you hear Rich Lowry, Byron. He said, you know, here's a very erratic guy, a psychic meltdown as Speaker of the House. Will Republicans put that kind of man ultimately, if they can, will they put him in the Oval Office, Byron?
Well, a couple of things. One, he's very aware right now of the danger of blowing up because as the new front runner, he's going to be attacked a lot from his fellow candidates. That's just the way it works. How he reacts to that is going to be very important. Today, not long ago, talking with reporters, someone asked him about Michelle Bachmann's charge that his immigration position amounts to amnesty, and he looked at the reporter and said, "Some people are just factually challenged." Well, that's not overboard. It's not going to cause huge headlines, but it's an indication. It was a little flash of the old Gingrich. He realizes that he's got to behave differently in the spotlight than he did before. Now, as far as the baggage is concerned, there's old baggage and there's new baggage with Gingrich. A lot of the voters, and as a matter of fact, all of the voters I've talked to in South Carolina, as well as Iowa and Florida, too, have said, you know, there was a time when I would never have voted for that guy after he had that affair and left his wife, et cetera. But they've kind of worked through that. Time has passed. They think he's different. They think the situation with trying to defeat Barack Obama is so important that they're willing to overlook that. As far as the new baggage is what Gingrich did since he left the House. It's how he made a living since he left the House. His tangled business interests, his activity that the critics call lobbying and he says is not lobbying.
The $1.5 million or more from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in fees.
Exactly. He also was in the pay of pharmaceutical companies and really worked hard in favor of the prescription drug entitlement, which a lot of Republicans don't like. It falls under the general category of high-level Washington insiderdom. And that stuff has not really fully sunk in yet. I can tell you, talking with voters, it takes a while for these reports to come down, for them to think about them and to digest everything. So we don't know yet what effect the new baggage has had on Gingrich.
He's made millions on that path since he resigned the speakership and the House, for that matter. Byron, Rich, stand by. Let's bring our listeners right in here. Miami, Florida. Pam is calling. Hi, Pam. You're on the air.
Hi, Pam. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Well, what do you think, Pam?
I think it's Newt Gingrich's race to lose at this point.
Wow.
I think he's a really slick, we've seen in the debates how slick he is, and I think a lot of Republican voters really want to see him go up against Obama.
Why? Because they think he's Obama's intellectual equal or superior or he's tougher or what?
I think he is Obama's intellectual equal, maybe even surpasses Obama. But I think they also have a really short memory for what happened in the 90s. And for a lot of these missteps that he's made, even recently. And I think that when you compare him to the other Republican candidates out there, he does seem to be, this is coming from an independent progressive, I would call myself.
Yep.
He does seem to be the best guy to win the election.
But a Republican hunger to see him up against Barack Obama. That's interesting. Pam in Miami, let us hold that, and we'll come to it. One more right here. Roberta in Charleston, South Carolina, not so far from Byron, York right now. Roberta, you're on the air.
Hi. I think Newt Gingrich would be an absolutely horrible candidate. I think he would be extremely divisive. I think that he wants to play the road, both sides of the road. He was a lobbyist. He spent ridiculous amounts of money on jewelry, on women. He's taken money from Fannie Mae, which he turned around and said shouldn't exist. I think he's very dishonest, basically. I mean, I think that he wants to play both sides of the road, get what he wants, and he doesn't matter what he says and does to others. And as far as his campaign manager saying, you know, he knows he's got to control his temper with other candidates, doesn't mean he will be able to control it in the White House, which could be really, really devastating for this country.
Roberta, we've got your view as well. Let's take it to Rich Lowry in Byron, York. Byron, first to you. What do you think? I mean, you know the arguments, you know the complaints, hypocrite, savage, polarizer. But if it is Newt Gingrich in the end, if Mitt Romney with all his money and troops can't pull it off, what would you see in an Obama-Gingrich series of debates? What do you think that would look like, Byron?
Well, I fear for Gingrich's chances in the on-point primary, but I think if he were to be the candidate, if you talk to voters, they desperately want to see a debate between Barack Obama and Newt Gingrich.
Why?
First of all, in the Republican primary season so far, debates have assumed a level of importance I don't think anybody could have predicted. I mean,
yeah.
They are the single biggest factor in who is up and who is down, and Gingrich has done very well in them, and he is quite knowledgeable. And they believe that Gingrich would be the strongest candidate. If you kind of assume forward that debates are going to be a really big deal in the general election campaign, which may not be the case at all, but people are doing that, they see Gingrich as the strongest possible debater. The reason Rick Perry fell in the polls is he was terrible at debates, and Romney has been stable in debates. He stayed stable. Herman Cain's lack of knowledge has kind of come out in debates. These debates have shaped this race, and they've shaped Gingrich's candidacy and Republican hopes for him.
Rich, it's been one thing when you've got, you know, a whole passel of Republicans up on the stage in the debate. What if it turns out to be Gingrich, Obama, nose-to-nose in debates next fall? What do you think that would look like, that dynamic?
Well, I agree with Byron on how important this wanting to see these debates are in the Republican mind out there. And I think 90% of the time in such high-profile, high-stakes debates, Gingrich would be fantastic. It's just the 10% you have to worry about where he comes out with something totally new and way overly creative, shall we say, or when he shows a flash of real mean-spiritedness. So Newt, most of the time, I think, would be a fantastic debater, but it's just those kind of moments that you have to worry about. You know, he showed this in the CNBC debate where he was tussling with Maria Bartolona. There was just a certain nastiness there, and people didn't focus on it so much. As you say, there are a lot of people up there on the stage, but if you're alone with the President of the United States debating, people are going to notice that kind of thing. His immigration answer in this latest debate, he's right, we're not going to deport 10, 12 million people, especially people who have been here for years. But he also threw out this idea that is just crazy, really, that you can have selective service-style boards at the local level deciding who stays and who goes.
Local citizens saying, you're in, you're out. Your history,
yeah,
you're
that's
toast.
That's kind of the sort of idea that Newt is easily seduced by, that at first sort of strikes you as fascinating and creative, and then it strikes you it's really not well thought through at all and would never work, and you just don't know what sort of bombshells he's going to throw out at any given moment.
Rich Lowry, yes, Byron, please.
I specifically asked him last night about this old new Newt temperament issue,
mm-hmm.
and I said, you know, so many people really didn't like the old Newt, and, you know, why would they like the new Newt? And he basically said, look, I'm older, I had grandchildren, I'm 68 years old, I left the house, I feel different. That's his argument. And by the way, if he were elected president on Inauguration Day, he would be the second oldest president ever upon taking office, just a few months younger than Ronald Reagan was when he took office. So his basic argument is, I'm a lot older and I'm a different man.
Well, I mean, you know, that is true. But I mean, Rich, what do you think? You're an influential voice in Republican circles. So is Byron. He's older. And even in his history, when he was younger, he had his kinder, gentler moments in 1995, you know, kind of talking about how you've got to make sure people have the means to get up off the bottom rung. But here you are today, even now, in 2011, Rich, saying, you know, very erratic guy, remembering a psychic meltdown, looking at blow-ups and baggage. If he were the Republican nominee, Rich, would you throw your weight behind him? Let's get you on the record. This very erratic guy for president of the United States. Your words.
Of course, he'd be better than President Obama. But, you know, the way for Gingrich, what he has to do is show rather than tell. He can tell us how new he is and how much more mature he is and how older he is and seasoned and all the rest of it. He really has to show us. And it goes to how he's going to conduct himself under the microscope here in the next several weeks. And can he build and run an effective operation? You know, this is a guy who basically has no executive experience whatsoever.
You said the hour is late and the pickings are slim. I mean, your words here, Rich.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a column I wrote prior to this Newt surge really coming on, sort of explaining why I thought it was going to come on because, you know, Perry has proven inadequate. Herman Cain, you know, is imploding before our eyes. Michelle Bachmann's lost some of her shine. So if you're looking for someone besides Romney, and there's a lot of the Republican electorate clearly that is, you know, it was coming down to Newt.
Calvin in Sumter, South Carolina. Calvin, you're on the air. What do you think?
How you doing, Tom? How you doing?
All right.
It's rather ironic how they're giving a pass to Newt, and they beat Cain up for his infidelities. But my thing is this here. How can the Republicans stand up and say, you know, they don't want Cain no more, but what part of Newt is better than Obama? The part where he left his wife for, you know, with cancer, or the part when he left his other wife for MS? I mean, this man not only left his wife, but left his wife at a time where they needed him most, and now he's still with the lady that he was, you know, having the affair with. At the same time, he was with the wife that had MS.
Now his wife, Callista. Calvin, our time is short before the break, but Rich Lowry, take that on. Herman Cain must be grinding his teeth a little bit. I mean, he's, you know, this Atlanta affair report is hurting him here, and looks at the Gingrich record. There's a couple of affairs on the record. What's the difference, Rich?
Well, because Newt's personal history is old news relative to what may or may not be Herman Cain's personal history that we're learning about. So it's obviously telling more against Herman Cain at the moment.
If you had to call it today, what do you think, Romney or Gingrich as the GOP nominee, Rich Lowry?
I still give Romney better than even odds.
Better than even. We're going to be watching closely here. Rich Lowry, columnist and editor of the National Review, joining us today from Washington. Thanks so much for being with us, Rich. Great to have you.
Thank you very much.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about Newt Gingrich, the new front-running contender, challenger for the GOP presidential nomination, Newt Gingrich. Herman Cain has stumbled. Mitt Romney continuing on, kind of at the same level. Still ahead in New Hampshire. Very important race there. More money, bigger operation across the country, but national polls in the last few days showing Newt now out front. He played it as kind of the grand master on the stage through a lot of Republican debates, not going after anybody else, but slamming the news media and President Obama.
I, for one, and I hope all of my friends up here, are going to repudiate every effort of the news media to get Republicans to fight each other to protect Barack Obama, who deserves to be defeated, and all of us are committed as a team. Whoever the nominee is, we are all for defeating Barack Obama.
All for that. He was the man defending everybody. Now he's out front. The elbows are getting a little sharper. Byron York is in Greenville, South Carolina, chief political correspondent for the Washington Examiner, and he's been right there in the front row watching the Gingrich campaign as the numbers have shot up joins us from Greenville. Right now with us as well from Washington is Todd Purdom, national editor for Vanity Fair. His most recent piece out on Newt Gingrich is headlined Big Baby. Todd Purdom, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here, Tom.
What do you mean, Big Baby?
It's a reference to 16 years ago in the fall of 1995 when he was coming back from Yitzhak Rabin's funeral on Air Force One and was upset that he was relegated to a rear cabin. And the New York Daily News ran a famous front-page cartoon headline, Crybaby, and at the time it showed a picture of Gingrich in diapers. And some Democratic group or another, I can't remember just who, sent around a little pink pacifier tucked into a reproduction of this cartoon. So we were just recalling that moment when, one of many moments, frankly, when Speaker Gingrich's ego seemed to get the better of his judgment, and he's since reflected on how that was really not a happy moment for him.
Byron York, talk to us about the Republican Party itself. I mean, if we go back to the 90s, and you and everybody point out, a lot of time has passed. On the other hand, Republicans themselves kind of ushered Newt Gingrich out of his seat to the House of Representatives. He was reelected and resigned just like that. I mean, they were just done with this guy and his sort of high drama style of leadership. Now, he may be polling well in the GOP now, but I don't know, in power circles, Byron, do Republicans want Newt up on top? They got tired of that in the House of Representatives.
No, a lot of them have reservations about that. As a matter of fact, Gingrich, just a few minutes ago, talking to the press, looked back on those days and he said, perhaps I just wore everybody out. That's one way of describing it. By the way, he left the House after it was in the midst of the Lewinsky scandal. It was in November of 1998. Gingrich had been telling everybody in the party that it was going to be a winner for them and they were going to pick up 20 seats. Republicans did hold control of the House, but by the tiniest of margins, I think it was 3 seats. And Gingrich felt essentially that he couldn't effectively lead after that. So, I mean, that was the immediate reason for him leaving. But the bigger question of his temperament is whether you buy into old Newt and versus new Newt. Because, as I was saying before, he points out he's older, he's got grandkids, he has a different view on life. That's why you have campaigns, is to let voters decide whether that's really true or not.
Well, we've got a lot of response online. Leon says on Facebook, the GOP knows that this is the candidate they need to win. Amy writes, if Newt falls apart, they're stuck with Mitt. Nobody wants Mitt. Lori writes on Twitter, he doesn't just have baggage. He has his own baggage train. Divorcing a sick wife, what kind of family values are those? Todd Purdom, do you buy the old Newt, new Newt, description of what's going on here? Do we have a transformed? He described himself as a transformative leader very often back in the day. Do we have a transformed man or not? Is that possible?
I really think it's a truism, not only of politics but of human nature, that adult personalities do not fundamentally change. I think we've seen that, and I mean the new Nixon of 1968 was new enough to be elected just 6 years after his famous last press conference. You won't have Nixon to kick around anymore. But it turns out that once in office, the old Nixon was very much in evidence in every way, and he became the undoing. Look, I think the thing about Speaker Gingrich that's so fascinating is he's clearly one of the most, one of the brainiest, most interesting, liveliest politicians of his era. But he's also always been a lightning rod, a figure of tremendous controversy, a person who collects controversy like, a magnet collects iron filings. I happened to be talking the other day with Jerry Rafshoon, who was President Carter's media person. And he was saying that when Gingrich came to Washington in 1979 as a freshman in Congress, he'd turned to President Carter and said, "Did you ever hear of this guy from Georgia? Did you ever hear of him?" He said, President Carter said, "Don't you remember? He's the guy who used to write all these crazy letters, and Jody Powell would write him back saying, someone is borrowing your stationery to make an outrageous claim." So,
no,
I mean,
it was him.
Yeah, it was with him. But he's always been a kind of controversial figure.
Let's go to Mark in Boston. Mark, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to say how you guys must really go out of your way to ignore Ron Paul when he's done so much better than Bachman or Perry or Kane consistently. And
not ignoring him. He's invited. There's a place for him anytime right here. We've had him on before, but he's welcome back anytime, Mark. But what do you think? What do you think on Newt, Mark? Oh, Mark.
You know, I think he's another flavor of the month. And it's absurd that you guys are giving him that much attention, just like you do with Bachman or Kane or Pawlenty, even. While Ron Paul's out there consistently raising more money from the military than all the other candidates combined.
He's out polling. He's out polling Ron Paul by a factor of two now. Is that not?
What about Perry? What about Bachman? What about Kane?
Well, look at their numbers.
Polling them, and you do not bring him up, do you?
We do. He's welcome right here. In fact, he's invited anytime. I appreciate your call, Mark. Jacques in Boston, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I listen to you 5 days a week, but as a Republican, I will be very disappointed if the Republican Party choose Newt Gingrich to represent the party. Very disappointed.
Why?
Of all people. Why? The man is a sleazebag. He got a mile-long record. A womanizer? Oh, come on. Come on, Tom. Please. I'll vote for Miss Piggy before I vote for him.
Miss Piggy before Newt Gingrich. He's looking a little large in the suit lately, but I, Jacques, I've got it. Let me get one more. Craig in Davenport, Iowa. Craig, you're on the air.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment here regarding Newt Gingrich and this kind of self-serving politician that he comes across as throughout his whole career. It's kind of funny you mentioned this point earlier. One of his historical icons or heroes is Toynbee, and it kind of reminds me that Gingrich believes in this self-serving way that there is some Hegelian spirit, world historical spirit, guiding him towards the White House.
Destiny.
Yeah. Well, and I just don't see that when it comes down to brass tacks that he is going to actually have a plan for the nation, rather than something working in his favor in the last, 15 or so years of his political career.
Even in the White House. Craig, I appreciate your call. I mean, the rap on Newt and Byron Todd, you both know this, is that he's very sharp-tongued. He can really come out swinging. He knows how to wield a bunch of history, and he can put big visions together. But the rap on him is that there's this broad stripe of demagoguery here. Look in the dictionary. A person, orator, or political leader who gains power and popularity by arousing the emotions, passions, and prejudices of the people. I mean, Byron, there's the question of can he win, but I'll come to you first. Should he win? You heard Rich Lowry's reservations about this. I mean, is this polarization has been a very big issue for this country. What would that be like? President Gingrich in there, should he win, Byron?
Well, what you call polarization, a lot of Republicans who are old enough to remember call victory. I mean, they respect Gingrich a lot for having the vision as a backbench Republican congressman and the kind of the audacity to hope that Republicans could take over the House of Representatives after 4 years of Democratic rule. So Republicans remember that, even though those were in the Clinton years and they weren't happy about Bill Clinton. They remember Gingrich's achievement quite fondly, and they look at welfare reform, and they look at the balanced budget and the surpluses, and they give Gingrich credit along with Clinton for those two things. So he does have this record of achievement and also of thinking really, really big, and I cannot overstate to you how much Republicans want to defeat Barack Obama, and they look at Gingrich as somebody who has really pulled off something big before.
Definitely had that victory, but you got some Republicans with their reservations. I mean, Bruce Bartlett, of course, he had policy roles with Reagan and George Bush the first. He looks at how Newt Gingrich has gone after congressional committee staffs and even the Congressional Budget Office, which Newt Gingrich called a reactionary socialist institution which does not believe in economic growth, does not believe in innovation, does not believe in data that has not been internally generated. Bruce Bartlett says Newt Gingrich played a central role in kind of taking facts out of our political life because they often don't line up with his visions, Todd Purdom. Bartlett says, he wants to abolish the CBO. Bartlett, former, Republican policymaker, says that those would be an act of nihilism here. Any politician recommending that is unfit for office. We need to get real about the facts of what's going on in our country. What do you say, Todd?
Well, I mean, there is a problem. There is a place where Speaker Gingrich's theories often crash in the face of reality. And there are people who are temperamentally more suited to be legislators than executives. And I think he's a classic example of that. I mean, if you're a legislator and you're a member, especially of the minority in Congress, you can get up every morning and be outraged about something. And you can say it, and you can try to change it, and you can throw darts at it, and, you know, you can maybe make a difference. When you're the president or when you're running something, you have to get up every day and actually make things work. And I don't think there's so much in his record that ever suggests he's really made anything work, except, you know, taking over the Congress, which was a very significant political achievement. And as Byron points out, Republicans, you know, would love to have an epical kind of change like that. They'd love to stop President Obama in his tracks and turn back that victory. So, you know, that's the choice that they face. But there really isn't anything in Newt Gingrich's record to date to suggest that he would be a great person to run the show.
Though the country clearly at a time of grand trial, and he clearly sees himself in a grand mold. Dave in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Dave, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I you know, we talk about Gingrich's volatility, and I agree with that. But we should also keep in mind that a large part of the electorate is tired with what I think they see as a phlegmatic, even-keeled, do-nothing administration.
Obama, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Even-keeled, but not getting it done. That's interesting.
Getting nothing done, and I think there's a lot of angst and a lot of impatience with the very even-keeled, appropriate to a certain time, but maybe not this time, personality.
Dave, let me hold that thought right there, and I appreciate your call. Ray in Columbia, South Carolina. Ray, you're on.
Hey, Tom.
What do you think, Ray?
Me, as a blue-collar worker, I feel like I have no one to vote for. Gingrich, all the Republicans, none of them seem to have any morals or whatnot, you know, I don't want to vote for anybody like that. And Obama, he can't accomplish anything because he gets shut down on everything he tries to do. So who's the blue-collar man supposed to vote for?
The blue-collar man still looking for his candidate. I'm looking here, the latest numbers out on positive intensity. That's one way they measure support for people. Positive intensity among Republicans just jumping up in November for Mitt Romney, for Newt Gingrich, while Mitt Romney's is diving. I mean, Byron, here's our caller Dave in Chapel Hill, and he says, you know, Newt may be a little too volatile, but he's had enough of sort of cool, even-keeled Obama, who he doesn't see getting anything done. But then there's Ray saying, well, everything he tries gets blocked. What do you say, Byron?
Well, first of all, on the Obama thing, I, with all due respect to the callers, what is it about passing national health care, which has been a Democratic goal for generations, do people not like? The president had huge majorities in the House and Senate. For about 130 days, he had a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate, and he used it to enact the number one Democratic priority for generations. He's also killed Osama bin Laden. He's increased spending like crazy in ways that the Democrats like.
So you don't see him as a do-nothing president?
Absolutely not. I think he's accomplished an enormous amount. There is this issue, switching the Republican race, there is this huge issue going on, which is the anything but Romney Republicans. There's a large number of them. They simply will never, ever trust Romney. They think he's a flip-flopper. They think he's slick. They think he's a rhino, whatever you want to say. And they have just desperately, they've twisted themselves into a pretzel looking for a candidate to support other than Mitt Romney. And we saw a little bit of a movement for Michelle Bachmann. Then we saw Rick Perry come on strong. Then we saw Herman Cain. Now we're seeing Gingrich. This says something about Republican attitudes toward Romney that he has not been able to overcome yet.
Todd Purdom, how do you read that? Mitt Romney not conservative enough or too Mormon?
I think it's probably a blend of all of those issues, but I think the one thing that you have to give Newt Gingrich enormous credit for is that he saw this opening long ago. He saw his theory of the case was always that he would be the experienced graybeard who'd been to the races before, who could be waiting there when everyone got tired of the flavor of the month. And his timing is impeccable because now he's the flavor of the month in the month leading up to the voting. So, you know, that's a pretty good place to be. What will happen ultimately and whether he can stay the course is another question, but Byron's point is very well taken that I can't remember a Republican field in which the person, you know, who's the front runner has both apparently a ceiling and a floor of 25%. Mitt Romney's not going much below that, but it's very hard for him to go much above it. And And such reluctance by such a wide swath of the party, especially the part of the party that controls the nominating process, to embrace him wholeheartedly. You know, 4 years ago at this point, John McCain's mother, you know, famously said the party was just going to have to hold its nose and go for him. And by this point, you know, they were, you know, effectively. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the case with Mitt Romney.
I've asked Byron and Rich Lowry, what about you? If it ends up being Newt Gingrich, it's kind of incredible. But if it's in the final stretch, it's the debates between, you know, hot Newt Gingrich and cool Barack Obama, how do you think that plays out, Todd Purdom?
Well, I mean, I think Newt is a classic hot figure in Marshall McLuhan's terms, as he would appear in the media. And I personally think the Obama people would welcome the chance to run against him because he would just come off as a little too overbearing. I think he could easily, in a debate with Barack Obama, you know, handle himself fine. He wouldn't make factual errors or fail to name the series of three things he wanted to, the 3 points he wanted to make. But he might come off as so obnoxiously overbearing and pedantic that he would make Obama look like a regular guy, which is kind of a hard thing to do.
What's your guess, Byron York? Is it going to be Romney or Gingrich on that home stretch? Or somebody else?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that, and I don't know. I will say the situation is more perilous for Romney than I have ever thought it was before. Gingrich is quite strong, and look at the reasons previous candidates have fallen. Kane, Bachman, Perry, all really basically because of lack of preparation and knowledge. Gingrich doesn't have that, so he could last.
The Backus train rolls on. Byron Newark with the Washington Examiner, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Todd Purdom, Vanity Fair, thank you. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.